Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call to order the Tuesday, January 22nd, 2019 Board of Supervisors meeting. I'd like to remind everyone, although it is posted within the meeting room, this meeting is and has been the policy of the Township of Seabrook Board. All the public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes, and also want to let you know that the Board of Supervisors did meet in executive session this evening at 5:30 to discuss plan, legal, and personnel matters. Please join me now as we do the pledge of allegiance.
Of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Michelle, would you please do the roll call?
Member Mark Moyer.
Here.
Member Justin Engel.
Here.
Member Matt Weir.
Here.
Member Rick Demuda.
Here.
Chairwoman Susan Court.
Here. And we're going to open up our meeting this evening with the first of our visitor and public comments. All the public sessions of the Township of Derry Board of Supervisors, again, are recorded for the purpose of creating accurate minutes. And as a reminder, our speakers are really encouraged to try to keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. And just a reminder, right on cue, I was going to remind everyone to turn off their cell phones, please. And also just a general reminder to everyone in the audience to please remember to be respectful of everyone and all of the opinions in this room this evening. Anyone wish to approach the board for comment this evening, please give us your name and your address. And again, try to limit your comments to 3 minutes or less.
Hi, Dave Weaver, 214 Java Avenue. A couple things tonight. First, a couple months ago there was a presentation by Mr. Verdelli relating to the financial predicament of the board and the potential need to continually raise taxes to a significant degree. And he talked about that there definitely were possibilities to address expenditures, address policies that would negate the need to have these tax increases. Mr. Engel indicated that he was anxious to work with Mr. Verdelli on implementing those proposals. I haven't seen anything yet, and I would think it would be beneficial for the board to provide monthly updates as to what is being developed to address the tax, the potential need for tax increases. That's point number one. Number two, I think it's a little, the last meeting, I think the citizens were told that we had to wait until March to get an update on fundraising for the community center. I think that's a little disingenuous. It's a public project. We know our taxes are being raised. There was a lot of hoopla when the $1 million donation came through. Now we've gone a couple months, 4 months or so, without hearing anything. I think, again, monthly updates related to the progress of fundraising. It impacts our financial condition. Third, we have one hotel going up in the West End. The ink's almost dry on another one. It doesn't take an engineer or a project manager or someone to see that these are ill-conceived in their location and design. They don't fit. They're going to cause problems in the community. There's going to be more of them if these are continued to go through. I know the zoning permits it now, and zoning can be changed. It's not an immediate change, but I'm pretty sure the board has the authority to put a moratorium some sort of stop to on this type of thing, because it's clear that the zoning policy does not work if these are allowed in these neighborhoods. It's destroying the community aspect of those areas. I mean, you got people living there for years in beautiful, they're not mansion homes, they're nice, good bones homes, and they got this monstrosity going in next to them that do not fit and are going to cause continual traffic problems. Finally, in front of my home, I've noticed recently some flags from an engineering company and some digging with around the electrical grid, et cetera. And I hope that myself and my neighbors are not going to be subject to the same monstrosity and BS that happened out there on Forest Avenue. I'm hoping that somebody can talk to PP&L and prevent those huge poles from going in, if in fact that's what's going in. I don't know, but I'd like somebody to tell me, number one. And number two, I would like you folks to start being stewards of the community and protect our interests instead of the protection of the money, the developers, the big voices in town. Start protecting and addressing the concerns and needs of the people that come here every day, every week, you know, work and make a couple bucks, and you know, just start looking out for us and address our needs a little bit.
Good evening. My name is Steve Seidel, 450 West Granada Avenue. I've got some prepared comments here. So I'm reading the best I can here. As you'll hear from other members of CARS here tonight as well, I am a member of CARS, but I'm not representing CARS tonight in my statements. I'm speaking on my own behalf as an in-town resident. My wife, Kathy, will also be providing after me will be providing some specific comments about the Marriott Hotel proposed on Chocolate Avenue, which impacts our neighborhood. But first, I want to comment on the bigger picture. The new zoning that was proposed by this Township Board of Supervisors was approved by this Township Board of Supervisors in 2017 and revised in 2018 resulted in an inappropriate imbalance between development in this township and the quality of life of its residents, as you just heard our prior speaker comment about as well. Tonight, though, my focus is on zoning changes to the former Village Residential and Downtown Commercial zones. The changes to the Downtown Commercial have allowed a doubling the size of each commercial development by reducing building setbacks to 6 feet and less, increasing building height limits by 50% from 40 feet to 60 feet, and increasing impervious coverage from 60% to 85%. Those changes are what has enabled the five-story hotel currently under construction next to the Italian Lodge and the proposed five-story Marriott on Chocolate Avenue. And worse, another change that occurred was an expansion of the size of the former Downtown Commercial zone to now include all of Caracas Avenue, which probably most people in this room don't even realize, and most of my neighbors don't even realize until I've told them that. All the way from Hillcrest to Cocoa Avenue. The total effect on Caracas is to allow 60-foot tall hotels and other similar uses on property that was formerly zoned residential. Additionally, that commercial development is allow triple the impervious coverage versus the former residential zone, an increase from what was 30% impervious to 85%. From an aesthetic standpoint, many portions of the residential neighborhoods within the former Village Residential zone will also be damaged by a reduction of the setback requirements. For example, on streets like where I live, we will end up with a zigzag as newer houses are permitted to build closer to the street than the existing homes. Instead of looking down my street and seeing open landscaped front yards and house fronts lined up nicely, it will become a mishmash zigzag of building distance from the street. Why not increase the front setback to 30 feet for all streets in the Hershey mixed-use zone, which is the new designation of what used to be Village Residential, as was done for Elm Avenue last year, one of the amendments I believe the board made, but specifically for Elm. Note that the streets where existing homes are closer than 30 feet would not need a variance to maintain the existing setback because section 2.206.G of the zoning code allows a reduction of the front yard area when proposed structures are consistent with the existing neighboring properties. So I implore this Board of Supervisors to promptly review and revise the zoning code that will otherwise continue to destroy the in-town Hershey neighborhood. Thank you.
Kathy Seidel, 450 West Bernetta Avenue, Hershey. My husband and I accept the current inappropriate zoning as township law and must be followed by township officials when reviewing the proposed hotel development on Chocolate, on West Chocolate Avenue. We would, however, like the Director of Planning, the Board of Supervisors, and any other township body with jurisdiction to use every means available under the law, including not granting waivers, to minimize the negative impacts of this hotel on the residents of the surrounding neighborhood. In addition, we'd like the supervisors to require the developer to fund a traffic study that is conducted several times through the year, including during in-township special events and peak summertime when the park is open, not just during the winter off-season, to see the traffic impacts that are going to be created on West Chocolate Avenue due to the hotel. The study should also include event and pre-event rush hours. This study must also consider the existing divider in the middle of Chocolate Avenue, which occurs near the hotel site, which will increase the likelihood of traffic problems. The study and subsequent discussions should focus on mitigating traffic congestion and keeping hotel traffic from passing through our residential neighborhoods. The developer, not the township or PennDOT, should be required to fund necessary improvements and changes to address the traffic issues, as well as any damage to roads, which we are having right now from the current hotel construction and all the construction vehicles going near our neighborhoods, through our neighborhoods and on our adjacent streets. Additionally, the township should require from the developer maximum screening between the hotel and our neighborhoods, minimize lighting, and apply any other conditions that minimize the disturbances to the enjoyment of those who call this our home. We feel that these hotels are encroaching on our neighborhood, as is the zoning with the addition, as my husband described, on Caracas Avenue. It's impacting our property values, and it's impacting the enjoyment of our neighborhood.
Okay, I think this is my 12th week I'm asking this question, and I'd like to hear some input if I could. It relates to the entertainment tax. I mean, Justin, you've been saying you're working, you're getting to it. This has been discussed. I'd like to know tonight, who do you meet with? When do you meet? And could we have some minutes from those meetings? How have you been making the contact? Has the school board been making the call? I mean, has the company, obviously, Hershey's, need to be involved? And are you involved? And who is representing the community in relation to these taxes? So I would like an answer. So after the thing, when the reporter comes up and talks to you, please answer that so we get a true story. And would it be possible to have minutes from the meetings that you had supposedly with them discussing the increase in the entertainment tax? Now, I did a quick study, checked around the surrounding area. Everybody else is 5%. Why are we at 85 cents a ticket? I think, to be fair to the people of the community, why should we be paying for another company's benefit? We should be benefiting. We're the people who live here year-round. So if that's possible, like the names, the dates, because I'd like to sit in on some of those meetings to hear actually what's discussed. Okay, and also with the new $159 million project they're doing, has anybody figured out how much tax we're going to generate? Or are we going to be worried about the taxes they have to pay? Thank you.
Campbell.
Good evening, Wayne Rivers, 815 Cypress Court. As you all know, I am a member of CARS, Citizens Advocating Responsible Spending, and I've got a couple of questions and a short statement. At the last meeting, there was a contract to engage Griffin, Stevens, and Lee, which was approved, but there was some confusion over the contract, what the terms were. Was the approval was contingent on a final review of the solicitor. Has that been done? Is it an hourly rate plus a percentage? Is it just a flat fee if they manage to procure the funds?
Actually, I think we have resolved that issue.
Okay, and what is that? What is the cost of the township going to be?
No additional cost to the township.
Okay, so the issue's been resolved so that if they procure funds, they get a percentage of it. If they do not procure any funds, there's no cost to the township.
Right.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. The other thing that I wanted to bring up, which kind of many folks in our organization are wondering what's going on, we saw that something got added on to the agenda here under O, which is number 7O, the consideration for conditional use authorization by the Hershey Trust. Can you tell us what that is? A lot of planning's gone on to this thing, and hate to see some open-ended agreement that none of us knows anything about. Anybody answer that?
Chuck would be best suited.
You can yell at me, Chuck.
Okay. So this is the Hershey West End project that I'm sure you've heard of, the project happening over by Cocoa Beanery. We've had this in front of the Planning Commission. We've had actually a public hearing that went two evenings in front of the Board of Supervisors, and tonight is really adopting the decision.
Okay. So what is the conditional use agreement that's being asked for?
Conditional use application.
Right.
There's not an agreement.
Okay. What is the application for?
For Hershey West End project.
I understand that, but
there must be some afterthought. There must be something going on that somebody said, oops, or maybe we want to do this, we should do that.
The Board of Supervisors had their public hearing. They're required within only 45 days from that public hearing to render a decision. Tonight is the decision from that public hearing.
Okay, so what is the conditional use? I don't know, maybe
for Hershey West End, for the entire project.
Okay.
The entire project itself.
So it's falling under this catch-all. Okay, all right. Last thing I'd like to say, too, again, with our organization of CARS, last night we had a meeting. As you all know, the weather was brutal. There were 41 people showed up at our meeting, which was also encouraging as two candidates showed up that are going to be running for the two open seats that are up for election this year out of the five positions. I encourage you, as current members, to come join our meeting. They came to listen with the citizens in this town want to hear. They listened, they introduced themselves, announced themselves to a degree, and they got to hear what the people in this town are saying, just like the previous people that spoke. There's things going on that are concern of a lot of folks in this town. And instead of listening to all the suits that come in for a few days and then leave, listen to the people that are here all the time. Thank you.
Thanks for the invitation.
By the way, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
In order for you to come, carsofdairy@gmail.com. We won't flood you with a bunch of emails telling you when our meetings are and stuff like that. If at any time you're interested in stopping to one of our meetings, just send an email to carsofdairy@gmail.com.
And when do you meet?
We meet every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Thanks, Justin.
And thank you for the invitation, and certainly we're always interested to hear not just what your group but the whole community
sure.
has to say, and just so that you know, and I'm sure the others realize this as well, that every day this group is talking with people in our community. So we are certainly interested to hear what your group has to say, but please understand that every day, Monday through Friday, Saturdays and Sundays, we're talking with members of the community to understand
I'm sure you are, and I hope so. But like I said, last night there were 41 people. Instead of talking to two people over at the the Coco Beanery, you could talk to 40 or listen to 40. You know, you don't even have to say anything. Okay? Thank you.
I'm Teresa Peschel, and I live over at 48 Half Street. And I have a couple of things, a couple of comments I'd like to make about the Marriott Town Place Suites. One of them would be easier to explain if Mr. Emmerich could bring up an overhead picture of that area of Chocolate Avenue. If you have something overhead, that would be ideal. But yes, I'll do my best. Anyway, first off, when I look at everything I see connected with the Marriott Town Place Suites, it is just too big for the site. It looks like 10 pounds of hotel crammed into a 5-pound lot. It's just too big. I have a problem with the underlying stormwater management because it is almost at the bottom of the hill, and I can't really, I have trouble with understanding how big holding tanks for stormwater may work in the short run, but what will those big holding tanks become underneath the tons and tons of building over top of it, say 20 years from now, 30 years from now? Is that going to be sustainable? And the third thing I would like to say with regards to the location of the Town Place Suites, oh, that's perfect. Since it looks like we may end up with this hotel, no matter what, at least a smaller version, would it be possible for the township to ask the developer to landscape that triangle of land that is bounded by Old West Chocolate 422 and then the curved piece of road? There is nothing there, and there is no reason why the developer, as part of the project, I don't see why we couldn't have the township ask him to landscape that with a row of trees on either side of that sidewalk and maybe some benches. It would make the area look much better, and it would slow traffic down a little bit. And the reason why people want to come to the Marriott Town Place Suites is because Hershey looks like a beautiful small town. It does not look like Ocean City on the Swatara. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa.
My name is Joe Bellissimo, 39 Elm Avenue. This may sound a little out of place, but I'd like to actually commend the township supervisors for what they've been doing. I think developing the downtown corridor with Hermanni Brothers and Iron Hill Brewery and that type of thing, finally we have a town. And I think there should be more of that. We have a town that serves the local people as well as the tourists, and I see many of the people that gave some pushback on that at Iron Hill Brewery, so I know they're using them. I also would like to commend the township supervisors on allowing some growth and development of these hotels, and they, if you'll notice, are on the outskirts of the town. They're not right down in the downtown corridor, which is going to be built up even more, I'm sure, as time goes on. So they're walkable. They bring people into the community to spend their money and help with the tax burden of the people in the local community. So I think these are positive things. I think these hotels that are out on the outskirts but still walkable go hand in hand with the development that's already been done. I was at the CARS meeting last night. I am very sensitive to their issues. I actually happen to be one of the property owners of these five properties that are on Chocolate Avenue, slated to be a Marriott Hotel. And we didn't list these properties. We were very selective about who we offered them to. We made our own portfolios. Some of the people in this room had an opportunity to buy them. And we were careful about, and we had options, we were careful about what we did. And when this developer came to us, who was an award-winning, who the Marriott on the other end of town, I don't know if you know or the people in the group, in the audience know, but that had international awards for an opening of a Marriott. And so we felt comfortable. We felt some responsibility to the community to put the right thing in that spot. Now, I get that you may feel that it's a little bit too big. I understand all that. This was a good developer. He didn't win awards by ignoring what goes on in the community, and I'm sure he's going to be sensitive to what is said here and try to adapt some things, and they already have many, many times. So I think this is a positive thing, and that's not just a biased property owner and want the sale to go through type of thing, right? We have other options, and we had other options. We feel like there were previous studies done that the township requested years ago, several years ago, that showed we needed more hospitality, more beds. And even with these two hotels, I don't think we've met that standard for the size of resort town that this is. So I don't think this is too many hotels. I like that they're on the outskirts. I like what you're doing downtown. So the bottom line is, as property owners, we have rights too. We have a right to sell this to a responsible developer, and as long as they do everything that follows the ordinances and the codes and the zoning, this is a by right project. They have the right to build this. We have a right to sell this to somebody. And if they follow the rules, then they should be granted this. Otherwise, you render our properties basically without value. And so we have rights to be able to sell this. And as long as all the rules are followed, then I think there should not be a no vote here. So I would ask you to support this. If some of the people want to organize and maybe make an effort to change some of the zoning, that can happen later on down the line. But this is a good project for the town. We know we need the beds, and you know, not to be flippant, but in the words of Johnny Cochran, there is no fight. This is by right, and I think we need to stick to that. And for those people in the audience that don't know. The responsibility of this panel up here is to uphold those standards and the zoning, and to approve fire rate projects, even if there may be some pushback. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Could you bring that back up, Chuck, for me? I'm Jonathan Crisp. I'm an attorney. I'm representing AIS, who is probably the most important person in this room, because they are the neighboring property owner directly adjacent to the hotel, and they are the ones, assuming I can get my work. I got it right there. That's them. All right. He has said that it's by right, and it isn't. He overlooks the situation in the, you're asked to give waivers by the Planning Commission, and I'm really surprised that they overlooked this the way they did, for the width of what they call First Street. Now, First Street is nearly not a street. There's a misconception in this town. They call these alleys behind them streets. They are not. What that is an alley under the second-class township code. Second-class township code, you've got to be 33 feet wide for a street, 15 for an alley. That's an alley. That was built for one reason and one reason only, to allow the property owners to get to their garages and get back into their properties. It was never intended to be a thoroughfare. Here's the problem with this development, and it's a practical one. I've always been about parking and always about traffic. You can't make a left turn out of Hillcrest to go to the park, and that's where all that traffic's going to go. So how are you going to get the traffic out of the hotel to the park going west on Chocolate Avenue? There's only two ways they can do that. They've got this, their plan is set up to have the people come basically out of the rear, and they're asking for a waiver from the exit to the where they are at the alley, which shouldn't be granted. But that's really not the problem. The problem here is what's going to happen with the traffic. Most of the people are going to want to go to the park or up to the outlets and what have you. So how are they going to get there? They got one of two ways. They walk Hillcrest all the way to Arriba, take a right in Arriba, go all the way out to Hockersville, and come out at the light at the the drugstore there, the CVS. No, they're not going to do that. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to come out there, go up the alley to Orchard, make the left, and then go this way back to the park. That's the only way they can do it. There's the problem with this, right there. I lost my thingy again. Where did Mike go? Now here's yours, Chuck. My
number. The other one.
No, that alley was never intended to be a major thoroughfare. It is a one-way, one-car alley. At its best, it's 15 foot wide most of the place it is in. But you can't get two cars side by side, which is what the real problem is. Who's ever going one way or the other has to pull off into a driveway or a parking lot and let the other guy go through. It's never going to be intended to be a major traffic route, and that's the real problem with this whole plan right there. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment at this time?
Good evening. My name is Ron Lucas, I'm attorney, Stevens Lee in Harrisburg, representing PGL Realty, which Mr. Bellissimo is one of the owners of, which owns the five houses, starting at Hillcrest, of the six houses that are being proposed for this development. They started purchasing these houses in 2009 with the intent of having several properties together. They would rent out during this term, and then when they found the right developer who wanted to do something that was permitted by the ordinance, could proceed, and that's what they did. When somebody says that use is by right, that means under the zoning ordinance, it's clearly permitted by right, doesn't require a conditional use or a special exception. That's what this use is. Very clearly, it's one of the 65 uses in the Hershey mixed-use district. It is also permitted in the downtown core, so overlay district. So it is clearly a by right use. Hotels and motels listed very clearly in there. So no questions, by right use permitted under the zoning ordinance. The reviews that have been done so far by staff and the Planning Commission recommendation is recognized that this use complies with the zoning ordinance. This use also complies with the provisions of the subdivision land development ordinance. Now, waivers are customary, and if they're reasonable, there is a responsibility to approve them. If you just deny a waiver that's a reasonable waiver and is commonly granted by the township, that's unreasonable. It's arbitrary and capricious. So that's one of the considerations before you tonight. Since our clients have invested in these properties with the expectation that at some point somebody would come in with a plan that meets the ordinance, and then they found somebody for that, they should not be denied the ability to sell their property for a developer who wants to put a permitted use on it. Some people are not happy with the size of the building. Remember, the district, that was, the regulations that were adopted in 2017 make the minimum height 30 feet, the maximum height 65 feet. So that's all permitted in your ordinance, and it's complied. The ordinance requires the hotel to be close to the sidewalk. All the requirements have been met, and that's what was designed to put in the zoning ordinance that was adopted 2 years ago. Now, before the consideration of land development plan, you have the consideration under your ordinance that was adopted later that downtown core design standards. Now, your board, in reviewing that, DC Downtown Core Design Board recommended approval of the demolition, recommended approval of the color scheme and patterns that met these standards, and recommended approval of the appropriateness of the use. Now, the ordinance that you adopted has some policy provisions. Then it has some specific provisions. The specific provisions is what an applicant must follow. If there are policy goals, somebody says, we just don't like that, we don't think it's appropriate, it's not what we intended, those are not legal standards that can be used to deny a request. It's very clear. it's not a subjective, arbitrary standard. It must be objective. Somebody must be able to come in and know exactly what the rules are. You adopted the rules. There are some things in here that are goals, purposes, but those are not the provisions utilized to deny a plan, to deny an application. So we would ask you to approve all the items that are on your agenda for this project tonight because they comply with the ordinance and there are no legal objections that people have, no objections that people have indicated so far that are based upon objective standard criteria. Thank you.
Good evening. Barbara Chapman, 444 West Chocolate Avenue. Also grew up on Caracas Avenue in the 400 block. This will greatly affect our standard of living. Yes, I know I'm in a building that also were created in the 70s that changed the landscape, but they're homes. We are right down the block from Days Inn. Again, it impacts with traffic, with lighting, with the look. We're in a neighborhood, and I think that even though you have the right to sell a property, you also have a right to be in the neighborhood, and just because you can doesn't mean you should. Thank you.
Barbara. Anyone else?
Hello, I'm Lou Mayon, 309 Cocoa Avenue. Most of you up there know me, so I'm here to get thrown under the bus with my partner Joe. I'm the other owner, the other half of the properties on Chocolate Avenue. So that being said, I wanted to give a little history quickly in the 3 minutes. I was born in Hershey, so as far as not being a long-term resident, I was actually born here in the old Hershey Hospital, so I'm giving away my age. And I love this town. I moved back here 35 years ago after my parents moved me out at 10 years old. So I have the best interest of the community, my neighbors, the citizens of this town, as do all of you. I understand everybody's concerns. I empathize with them. But I want to just give a little history here on the houses. Three of those, all of them were basically bought privately, except one. One was listed with a realtor. The whole town, 25,000 people, only three people put a bid in on it. And we won the bid and bought that house. That was 570. 574, some of you folks here might know the Augustine, Steve and John Augustine. Mrs. Augustine lived there until she was 94 and passed away. The house sat empty for a year. I had reached out to John 6 months later, and then a year later, when I met both the brothers, and I said, are you interested in selling it? They said they reached out to all the relatives, nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, everybody that's relative to the Augustine family, and nobody wanted it. One of the reasons was it's busy, it's loud, and the bedrooms are like 11 by 11. So most of us here, the furniture we have in our current bedrooms wouldn't even fit up the stairs. Can't even get a queen mattress up those stairs, and the bedrooms are tiny. So that being said, nobody in our family wanted it. We made an offer, shook hands, like old times, and that's how we bought it. The other one, 562, sat vacant for 7 years. That was under Bank of America, and Chuck can probably still have his letters of how many he wrote me about grass being too high and repairs. It was a very unique circumstance, but Bank of America actually owned that house. I fought with them for 7 years to finally get it, but I had to go to sheriff sale, and the whole sheriff sale down at the state capitol, there was only one person raised their hand to buy that house, and that was Joe and I. So nobody else wanted that house. So I've heard from some of the neighbors about these are quaint houses and you have this and but I'm showing you nobody wanted homes that were out there for sale by anybody. So it took 10 years to start bought first house in 2009. So this is a 10-year assemblage. So it didn't happen overnight. So it was patience and perseverance. A lot of sweat equity went into these things, And as Joe already said, you know, we were selective. Figuring the developer who built the Marriott at the other end of town did a beautiful job. We didn't think we could get any better than that. So that is who we went with to build this. He chose to put a hotel up. I don't know all the rules, but all I know is I raised four boys, and I've always taught them if you treat people fair, you'll get along with most people in life. And all I'm here is saying I want to be treated fairly. I know of a hotel 200 yards away that was unanimous vote. Didn't go through all the obstacles we've had to go through so far. And I just want to be treated the same and be treated fairly. And the ordinances should be followed. I didn't create the ordinances. I went to a lot of those meetings. When they're going through the comprehensive plan, I went to a lot of those things. Same thing as the meetings downtown. So I just say if the ordinances, people are unhappy with them, then there's a process to get that changed. But you can't just cherry pick a project that you don't like or doesn't meet your needs or what you feel it should be and deny it based on that. Thank you.
Anyone else? Hearing none, thank you all for your comments. We'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the adoption of the minutes, starting with the November 27, 2018 Board of Supervisors public hearing minutes. If you don't have any changes, if not, would someone make a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion.
Moved by Mr. Zavuda. Seconded by Mr. Weir. That motion carries. All those in favor?
Aye.
I'm listening to all these conversations. And opposed? Thank you. Next one, December 4th, 2018, Board of Supervisors Public Hearing Minutes. This was the continuation from the November 27th, 2018 public hearing. I'll make a motion to approve those minutes. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Zavuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And that motion carries. Last on the adoption of minutes from January 7, 2019 Board of Supervisors meeting. If there are no changes, would someone like to make a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion.
Moved by Mr. Engel. Seconded by?
Second.
Mr. Zavuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? And that motion carries as well. And next on our agenda, we have the recognition of Mr. Robert Skip Wilde for 30 years of service on the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. Mr. Rubio. Sure.
Well, that's good. It's an absolute honor to have you here this evening so we can recognize your amazing contribution of 30 years of service on the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. As everyone can imagine, the amount of projects and initiatives that Skip has assisted us in navigating over the years, I just want to mention a few of them. Founders Park, Skip was instrumental in planning, development, and construction, making Founders Park a reality. It is the home to the majority of our youth sports organizations in this community. It's heavily used, and Skip's prints are all over that project. In addition, as Middletown Road corridor was being looked at and before many phases of Deer Run were developed, Skip was very adamant in terms of ensuring that we had adequate acreage to provide a community park in the southwestern quadrant of the township. And as many of you know, Gilbert Park is certainly doing that today and serving thousands of individuals out in that area of the township. And lastly, and certainly not least, Skip was intimately involved in conducting and being a very instrumental part of 10 Bike It, Hike It for John events, which was in memory of Jonathan Eschenauer, which was expressly held to raise funds for the development of the bicycle and pedestrian trail in the township. And because of Skip's efforts, the Eschenauer family and the Eschenauer Foundation raised a tremendous amount of money to develop an additional 9 miles of bicycle and pedestrian trail through the township, most notably the section between Bullfrog Valley and Shank Park, the section out Wood Road, as well as around the medical center. We're all because of the efforts of Skip and the foundation. So I know I join everyone here and all the folks that you've impacted with your commitment. And just saying a huge thank you, and on a personal note, I consider you a true friend and really appreciate all your help.
Award is presented to Robert Skip Wilhite in grateful recognition and appreciation of 30 years of voluntary service on the Township of Dairy Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. Your commitment, knowledge, and unwavering dedication has played an instrumental role in providing quality recreational facilities and services to our residents. On behalf of all who have served with you, all who you've served, and the Township of Dairy Board of Supervisors, thank you for your extraordinary service to our community. We have a lot of anniversaries to commemorate today as well, and I will rush back as quickly as possible to read all of those. People volunteering on board, we have some very dedicated employees of the township, starting with the recognition of our five-year anniversary to Valerie Wood from Police Communications, Tammy Burkhart from Child Care, Craig Schlepp from Public Works, Cameron Espenshake from Public Works, and Adrian Eckenrode from Public Works. In our 10 years category, Sean Sargent from the Police Department, Barbara Clay from the Library, Kathleen Roberts from Parks and Recreation. 15 years of service, Chris Garin from the Library. 20 years of service to the Township, Heather Knott in Child Care, Eric Sally in Public Works, Jeffrey Cowich in Public Works. And finally, 25 years of service, Donna Small from the Library, and Teresa Weinhold from Finance, who just happened to retire the other day. So, congratulations to all of them. Now we move on to the next item on our agenda this evening, the consideration of proposed demolition of existing structures and construction of a new hotel at 554 to 574 West Chocolate Avenue, Hershey, within the downtown core overlay zoning district. Ms. Howard.
Thank you. this continuation from the design board meeting where, according to our design regulations, the Board of Supervisors has final say on demolition of existing buildings and construction of new buildings. In this case, the way the ordinance reads for demolition of existing buildings is the demolition of existing buildings, adaptive reuse of existing buildings shall be utilized to the greatest extent possible in the event that demolition of an existing building is proposed. The applicant shall submit the following relevant information on the structure in order to demonstrate the feasibility or adaptive reuse. Item number one, that the structural integrity of the building is beyond repair or reuse, and as a result, the demolition of the existing building is in the best interest of public safety and welfare. The applicant shall provide a structural engineer's report to demonstrate structural disrepair. Number two, that the desired general aesthetics and compatibility of design with surrounding uses will be more achievable with demolition of the existing structure and construction of a new building. And number three, that the safety of vehicular and pedestrian access to the building will be more achievable with construction of a new building. In addition to taking action on the demolition, the Board of Supervisors is also tasked with recommending or approving the construction of the new building. This application is dated November 12, 2018, and the renderings that were provided with this application are as follows. Now, some of these renderings were supplemented from the information shown to the Downtown Design Board. In fact, the Downtown Design Board took action on the demolition of the buildings, recommending that the Board of Supervisors approve. They also took recommendation by, or they made a recommendation by a vote of 4-1 that the existing building be, that the proposed building be constructed. However, as part of that recommendation, they did make a condition that the applicant is to provide more defined renderings of the west and south elevation of the hotel prior to the Board of Supervisors' consideration of the proposal to assist the board in determining the project impact from the viewpoints of all surrounding properties. So what I'm going to pan through here tonight are both exhibits that were presented to the design board and two new exhibits. So the first exhibit is the front rendering, and I believe that both of these were provided to the design board. These may have been slightly altered. I think what was shown in the design board had maybe a sign up here, but basically it's the same views. This is a new view. This is from the western and from the back of the building that was not shared with the design board. That starts to show some of the features of the building, the parking underneath, the some landscaping for one of the openings into the building, the car lifts that are being used for parking, and its relative size and shape to the surrounding areas. It depicts the buffer area, it depicts the bike parking that's required by the ordinance. The other view that was supplemented from what our original design board saw was this view kind of coming into town. And here again, it shows a compliance sign, in this case below the lower sill of an upper-story window, and shows some small articulation of the walls and articulation of the walls in front of the building, which is required by regulation. The applicant also provided some details of some of the street furniture, the soldier band of brick for the sidewalks that are required elements of our design standards. The benches are appropriate. The bike racks are also appropriate per our downtown comprehensive plan. So, with that said, and of course this item was originally written by Brandon recommending approval of the demolition of the existing building and approval of the design of the new hotel as presented.
Does anyone have any questions of Chuck?
Yeah, I have a quick question. Chuck, was there a structural engineer report?
There was not.
There was not. Thank you.
Is there any discussion, or do we want to possibly consider moving on to the next agenda item and then returning to this one to make a motion?
I think it makes more sense if they go to the second item first.
Well, let's hold on item C while we move on temporarily to item D, the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Townsend Suites, plat number 1309. Jeff?
One moment. Probably the best plan, although I guess you go back to the renderings. This is a land development plan for the Town Place Suites. In this case, it's located at the corner of Hillcrest and West Chocolate Avenue, of course. I believe everybody in the room realizes that. It's located within the Hershey Mixed Use Zoning District, the Downtown Quarter Overlay Zoning District, and the Central Master Plan Approval Area. The applicant proposes to combine the six lots into a single 0.8082-acre development tract. Property presently contains six dwelling units that will be raised to make way for a five-story, 84-room hotel. The parking on the property will be located behind the front face of the building in compliance with the overlay district requirements. With a total of 84 hotel rooms being proposed and six employees, a total parking of 89 spaces are required on the property. The applicant has proposed
to meet that total by providing 53 standard spaces, 17 compact spaces, 13 elevated spaces, and 4 accessible spaces, and 8 additional bicycle parking spaces. There was no traffic study done as part of this proposal. However, the plans indicate that the hotel use will generate 38 a.m. peak hour trips and 43 p.m. peak hour trips. The applicant is proposing subsurface stormwater control for the project, which is shown on this plan. The collection facility will take the downspouts and surface water from the improvements, route it through a stormwater basin, and eventually tie it into the existing stormwater system that crosses Chocolate Avenue. The maximum impervious coverage permitted on the property is 85% of the lot area, and the applicant is proposing a coverage of 82.6%. They've requested waivers of the subdivision and land development ordinance. They've requested a waiver of profiles of existing storm sewer, sanitary sewer, gas, and water lines within the property. Planning Commission staff recommended that the waiver be granted for unaffected facilities. The Planning Commission also recommended that the waivers be granted regarding the scale of the profiles. They've asked for a waiver of additional street right-of-way and cartway width along the street frontages. So that would be on South First Avenue and Hillcrest Road. The Planning Commission staff had recommended that waiver be granted. They've requested a waiver for stormwater volume control requirements typically associated with sinkhole development. This waiver is requested. The Planning Commission, HRG, and staff recommended that the waiver be granted. And finally, they requested a waiver regarding the separation distance for the proposed driveway from South First Street. Our ordinance requires that driveways be 60 feet from street intersections. And in this case, with the way the property's pinned in, we're recommending that waiver be granted because I don't think they could meet both 60 feet from Chocolate Avenue and the alley. We are recommending approval of 1309 condition upon the following items satisfactorily being addressed: that the applicant reimburse the township for costs incurred in the review of the plan no later than February 22nd of 2019. That the following items be addressed no later than July 22nd, 2019. That performance security is provided, that a letter from the American Water Company confirming that the hydrants meet the flow duration and recharge requirements of the subdivision and land development ordinance is required, that calculations are provided indicating that the fire hydrant flow rates satisfy the rates needed under the fire suppression rating schedule as published by the ISO, that sheet LP7.1 is sealed by a professional engineer, that's the lighting plan, that the applicant receives approval from the Board of Supervisors no later than July 22nd, 2019, regarding the first item on the agenda, the demolition and construction of the new building, that a copy of the PennDOT Highway occupancy plans and permit are provided, that the agreement be recorded regarding the operation and maintenance program for the auto stacker spaces, including information related to the anticipated method of loading and unloading the auto stacker, that two originals of the signed and notarized stormwater management best practices operation and maintenance agreement are provided, that the BMP inventory form is emailed to us, that a draft copy of the consolidation deed be provided that contains the language related to the restriction of the O&M agreement, and finally that the digital file for the final plan be provided in AutoCAD or DXF compatible format. And then that the following happen: that the BMP operation and maintenance agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan, that the property consolidation deed referencing the BMP is recorded concurrently with the plan, and that the agreement regarding the operation and maintenance program for the auto sector spaces, including information related to the anticipated method of loading and unloading the auto stacker, is recorded concurrently with the plan.
Thank you, Chuck. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Omar?
Chuck, what's the, with regard to the right of way, if not being dedicated, what would need to be dedicated?
So for an alley, by ordinance, we require that an alley have a 26-foot wide right of way and 18-foot pavement. And in this case, the alleys, I believe, have a 15-foot wide right of way and a pavement that appears to be about 15-foot wide, but not necessarily within the right of way, as you can see on the plan.
So the existing right of way is 15 feet.
That's correct.
And the required under the SALDO is 26 feet.
That's correct. So typically for roadway dedication, we'd be collecting the half from the developed side.
So 5.5 feet.
5.5. And then likewise on Hillcrest, the existing right-of-way is 50 feet and the pavement is 30 feet. And again, it doesn't appear to be necessarily centered in the right-of-way. Whereas the ordinance requirement is a 60-foot wide right-of-way and 34-foot wide pavement. On Hillcrest, I guess it's worth pointing out, because it comes up really well in the aerial, that it really takes an odd dog leg beyond this property.
Yeah. Personally, the dimension that I think is concerning is the alley, because we know that more traffic is going to use this road, more traffic from the hotel is going to use the alley. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is something that we normally required in the past, where we require right-of-way dedication. In the same alley, I think Chipotle dedicated right-of-way. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. In the case of Chipotle, they brought a driveway directly out onto the right-of-way, and in that case, it was, I almost want to say, a no-brainer that the alley would be widened because it became part of their driveway. Here, although they're not directly accessing the alley, I think you've heard tonight that there's some restrictions for access to West Chocolate Avenue. It may cause alley use
And all the businesses, including AIS, all access, correct me if I'm wrong, that you all access that alley. That's how you come in and out of work. So it is heavily used.
If you want to go back to the aerial,
okay. With regard to parking, in the ordinance there, you and I have talked about this, but I want to put it on the record that the you may know the section better. I'm going to pull it out. It's section 225-402.2, design and construction standards, and that's related to parking. And so item C says parking facilities, driving lanes, access drives, and areas for loading and unloading shall, at a minimum, be a structurally suitable all-weather, dust-free surface. Parking spaces shall be delineated by contrast and color demarcation on the ground plane, having a minimum width of 4 inches. So, what is your interpretation of how lift parking would be compliant with that?
We have discussed this not a great length. So my opinion is that the space itself is well demarcated by the lift and by the what I would anticipate to be paint for the space underneath the lift, which is why I couldn't find a problem with the lift parking. That coupled with the fact that the ordinance makes provisions for valet parking, which is the way the lift would be used, are the two reasons why I didn't find an issue with the lift parking.
So, but just to be clear, the lift is up. It's not being demarcated.
I would anticipate that there'd be paint lines underneath.
Okay, so, but when it's up, it's not the lift. I mean, there's a gray area here.
Fair. Yes, it is gray.
No traffic study was required because of the number of cars were fewer than 100.
Typically, that's the threshold is when the peak hour trips are less than 100. There's a second threshold that the Board of Supervisors can require a traffic study if there's known traffic issues in the area.
So Chuck, the width of that alley, that would have to be widened to the extent of the property hotels on?
They would be responsible for their half.
Their half, yeah. 5 feet. 5.5 feet.
Of right of way, yes.
Maybe this is not a question for you so much as the developer, but if that did happen, how does that impact that project? I mean, the feasibility and actually being built in that amount of space.
I can tell you how. I think it affected, but I think it'd be good to hear that from the developer.
I'll honor if there's anyone else.
I'm not representing the developer.
you want to answer that now, or are you going to answer the questions?
I'd be helpful to hear it.
No, sure.
I just wanted to wait my turn. Good evening, folks. Dave Getz, attorney in Harrisburg, with Snyder Widener, representing the developer of this project with me and Jim Snyder, project engineer for Snyder Sicari. To go back to the last question about the lifts, we'd be happy to put paint on the lift to direct cars in there, and then when the lift is lifted up by valet, there would be paint on the ground, so we believe that it's covered in either circumstance.
Not on the ground plane, but go ahead.
Not
on the ground plane. If you put it on the lift, it's not on the ground plane.
When the lift lifts up, there'll be more paint on the ground.
For the bottom spot.
Correct.
But it's a gray area.
I don't think so. I think it's probably yellow paint, not gray. Sorry, it's been a little nice.
So the question about if the waiver was granted to do this, and you would need to expand the alley in order to allow for traffic to actually move on First Street. How does that impact your current design?
I'm going to let Jim answer that because I'm only a lawyer. But we are going to instruct our guests when they leave, if they are trying to go to Hershey Park or someplace west, to come out here, go up around the True Hotel and back out the way the True and the other Field Township building. I think it's Fairfield. So we will instruct our guests to go out this way. And not to go on First Street. I think people will find that the easiest way to get, because you get to a traffic light and then you have a control intersection.
Good evening. Jim Snyder, Snyder Security Associates. I think relative to your question of additional right-of-way, there would clearly have to be a plan change, but you know, one thing that comes to mind is that we would just have a different circulation pattern on the site, probably a one-way circulation through the site, perhaps some angled parking. I think it wouldn't be as desirable as the plan that is before you. And clearly, as was mentioned before, there's no access to this alleyway. And I think it's typical on other projects in the township, not only to not require alleyways to be widened, but even to some of the adjacent streets that was experienced on some nearby projects. But that would be the change. Don't make the plan.
To the best of your knowledge, information, and belief, do you have any recollection of a waiver having been granted in a circumstance which is materially or substantially similar to the roads and alley bordering
a particular piece of property similar to this property.
I believe, Mark, the single thing that sets this apart from others is the divided West Chocolate Avenue.
So you don't, you believe this circumstance and this, the geographic location and position of this property is, would it be fair to say, somewhat unique in terms of the granting of waivers, such as the one being sought?
Again, I can't think of a place where we've done a plan where we've had a divided highway, to be honest with you, let alone granted waivers. So I think that that in some way changes the complexion for how traffic circulates.
Sir, I just
have a comment. You were looking for an example of a plan. The last one that I was involved in was the True Hotel, just 100 yards from here or so. So that plan had received waivers for widening right-of-way dedication associated with it, and the traffic uses the very same road as this hotel would use. So it's for all of that.
I appreciate that.
Can somebody turn up the volume on the microphone? I can't hear. Can't hear anybody.
Thanks, Rich.
Me as well, Rich. Can't hear me either. I guess not since you're cupping your ear.
Chuck, can you do a little bit of a comparison between the two? I mean, they are so close together in terms of granting waivers and traffic flow. I mean, if you could just do a comparison for us.
That made a difference. The true access is full roads that, again, offer mobility in either direction. In this case, the Chocolate Avenue access, you can only go eastbound, which would cause anybody that wants to go westbound to head theoretically, you know, past the True or to follow the alleys as some locals from time to time do to get around. There are no alleys with the True Hotel project that are meaningful or accessed by.
I can envision the church, I think it's the Church of the Redeemer up there, leaving out on Sunday, and one person turning left out of this parking lot and then left on South First Street and blocking up the whole line of traffic and people having to pull over on their neighbor's lawn or whatever just to solve the problem of getting around in that area. At least a wider alley would allow some buffer for a situation.
Does anyone else have any questions of either the applicant or Chuck? This is not an easy thing to review. I mean, it's not something that any of us take lightly. Whether you like a hotel or don't like a hotel as a person, as a resident, does not matter at all. In this case, we're trying to operate within the purview of our responsibilities, and that's where this gets a little challenging.
What's this timeliness associated with this particular decision?
I think we have to act by February 12th on both item C and item D.
And presently, we have an extension on both items till the 12th.
I'm sorry. The extension, I'm sorry. I think it was earlier than that, but you're right.
No, next regular meeting is usually where we put yes.
You're right. Sorry.
It may be earlier, but it's the next regular meeting.
I have another question on the side of the west elevation. The front elevation is imitation brick, I assume. The west elevation, is that drive it or? Because really, that's the most visible elevation when you come into town. What is that material?
And when we were before the downtown board, design board, that was one of the concerns, was the west end view. And that was the architectural elements that were changed or revised. So in addition to the stepping of the building, we've got three different materials predominantly. This is a cast stone or concrete. Then above that is brick, and then at the top is ephes or drive-in. And then additional windows were added at multiple locations, in addition to a grill and landscaping at the bottom. So those changes were made at the recommendation of the design review board.
Thank you.
Hey, Chuck. Put you on the spot again. Could you elaborate a little bit? There's so many different elements of this that we're all reviewing, but if you could kind of talk to what by right means and how these other pieces fall into place as we're all considering the best decision to make.
Sure. By right, as we look at zoning, is the use itself. So the hotel itself is a permitted use, so it's a by right use.
Providing they don't have kitchens.
As Ron went on to say that he didn't believe that conditional uses or special exceptions or by right uses, and that's fair, but in some cases I think of those as by right because they're permitted with certain conditions. The rest of the plan, we'll talk about the gray area of the parking, but I believe that they meet the parking requirements. So again, that's a by right for the number of rooms. Beyond that, I'm not sure what you were asking.
That's helpful. I mean, this is not a cut and dry decision. I mean, I think we're all trying to put our heads together and figure out the best direction to go. I don't know if anybody else wants to discuss this at this point or how we've got lots of different ways we could potentially move forward tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to be candid and at the risk of public condemnation. I am very concerned about, I want to do the proper thing legally. And in order to do the proper thing legally, I'm not on all fours with this exclusion and the waiver in terms of whether it's legally viable or not. I think I would benefit, and I don't know how resolved the rest of the board members are, but I personally would probably, I don't think obtaining a formal legal opinion from our counsel would be detrimental to us, but for the time. But that's just my level of comfort.
No, I don't disagree, Mark. I mean, I think, you know, again, none of us sits at home, you all included, and dreams of the hotels that we're going to put up in downtown. And I think this is a beautiful hotel, by the way. I just don't know that I like it there. But what I like or doesn't like or don't like or what all the other board members like or don't like doesn't really matter. What matters is that we follow the process and we follow the rules. And I feel like I still need a little bit more explanation. I mean, I don't like the idea of the traffic coming in and around the residential neighborhood. I don't like, even with expanding First Street, I just don't want to see that kind of congestion. But on the other hand, you know, our zoning allows for this. And we can't just, you know, to use, I forget who said it, but we can't just cherry pick projects because we don't like them. You know, all that being said, I mean, the property owners and the developers have followed the rules and done every step in this process as they should have. But I agree. I would like to spend a little bit more time getting John's opinion and getting a legal opinion to better understand how much room we have to wiggle within the decision.
So everybody's been using the words by right. By right is the use. That's the first hurdle in development. And then you have 100 yards to run with more hurdles. And so they're asking for a waiver for an alley where we know this traffic's going to go to. So the ordinance says that you should, I mean, if you, I don't believe that. I think if you're going to use that alley, you should widen it, period. It's not the same as the True Hotel. It's not the same as a lot of other development. It's, I mean, Chris Painter's sitting right here at AIS. He's using that alley every day. Our residents are using that alley every day. And to allow a hotel like this to get built without saying, oh, well, we don't think your alley needs to be wider, is not protecting our residents. So I don't think I do need a legal opinion. I think that they're asking for a waiver that I'm not in favor of granting. So I guess I'm going to go out on a limb and make a motion to deny the plan and the waiver. And so there's a motion on the table.
Just a quick question. Since there's a motion on the table, John, can David speak or do you have to take action? Justin just made a motion, so I'm wondering if David can speak and or offer further comment or if we need to move forward.
The board's in charge of whatever they want to do.
If we continue to have discussion, okay, either with a motion on the paper.
I would wait to see if they would second the motion, first of all. Yeah.
Not yet. It would be more natural to leave the discussion after a second is made, but...
Okay. That's why I was waiting.
Thank you. Is there anybody who would like to second the motion?
I'll second it.
I'll defer to your solicitor, but I recently litigated a case in York County where a township board did exactly this. They denied a waiver in one breath, and in the next breath denied the plan because it didn't meet it. And York County court sent it back to the township to tell them that was a violation of their obligation of acting in good faith. And the township does have an obligation to act in good faith. And I believe that by denying the waiver and then denying the plan all in the same minute, that would be a violation of your obligation of good faith, expose the township accordingly. And I would certainly defer to your solicitor to confirm that.
Or Dave, you could take the plan back and redesign it without the waiver and bring it back for submittal. But the way that it's on, the way that it's being presented right now, it doesn't, I mean, you're asking for a waiver and we're denying it. So if take the plan back and rework it.
Or you could approve the plan with the condition that we rework it.
That would be at our discretion. So.
So we could approve the plan and grant the waiver. We could approve the plan contingent upon the granting of the waiver. We could table this and revisit it in 2 weeks at our February 12th meeting. Or we could deny...
With the benefit of a legal opinion.
Correct. Or we could deny the waiver in which, in essence, then denies the project. Did I get all that?
But in any case, you have to have a vote.
Correct. Can I ask a question before we go too much further?
What are the deadlines to act on this? We're talking about doing this and, you know...
Both this and the design board action are needed by the next meeting.
Okay. So this could wait till the next meeting to do research, do whatever we want to do. I frankly think you have to do that. But that you still got to vote one way or the other. That's my recommendation.
Is there any more discussion, or do we want to move forward with the vote? Mr. Engel made the motion to deny. Mr. Zamuda seconded. I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of their motion to deny the application, please say yay.
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 Three, and those opposed, nay.
Nay.
Okay, so 3-2, so the motion does not carry. Your motion carries.
Motion carries.
But that is to deny the project. We also then need to revisit item C, but given the denial of item D, that makes item C a moot point. Correct?
You still must take action.
No, we'll take action, yeah. But given the fact that the project doesn't move forward at this juncture, I guess the motion would be that the Board of Supervisors denies the demolition of the existing structures at 554 and 574 West Chocolate Avenue, and the design of the new hotel is depicted on the information submitted to Derrick Township on November 12, 2018, November 26, 2018, and January 14, 2019, based on the fact that the project tonight has been denied. Would someone like to make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Made by Mr. Engel. Anyone want to second the motion? Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in.
And just by way of discussion, again, I was a proponent of deferring the last decision to the next meeting following legal review. Advice of counsel, and I think the same logic should follow with this particular agenda item as well. But again, that's just my humble opinion.
So the two of you made the motion, and Justin made the motion, and Mr. Weir seconded it. So all those in favor of denying the demolition, they say yay.
Yeah.
And those opposed, for the reasons that Mark stated, nay. Okay. Everyone clear?
That passed 3-2.
3-2. Now we move on to item E, consideration of the sketch plan for Pinehurst site, plat number 1311. Ms. Remmer.
Thank you. This sketch plan proposes to raise the.
Just give us a couple seconds for the room to kind of empty out.
Market-rate apartment building. The development will be served by public water and public sewer facilities. The property is located within the Hershey Mixed-Use Zoning District and is also subject to the Compact Development Overlay District and the North-South Master Plan Approval Area. The subject lot was created in 1982 as part of the Northeast Industrial Park as lot number 12 and contains 3.178 acres. It is encumbered with actually very many utility and drainage easements. The lot has frontage on Northeast Drive, Dairy Road, and P Street. P Street is this. The applicant is proposing relocation of the existing driveway along Northeast Drive into a better harmony with the entrance to the alley. And is also proposing to construct a new driveway at the intersection of North 3rd Street and P Street, connecting to Dairy Road. In order for the site to be developed as proposed, a master plan of approval will be required, which is the only way that apartments can be in this district. The sketch plan also proposes 129 parking spaces, which is the minimum required by the use per ordinance. However, the applicant notes that they would like to defer construction of 15 of those spaces located there along the front of the property, which is easier to see on the engineering plan. They believe in their studies of apartments that they have that our ordinance maybe demands too many parking spaces for what they're accustomed to seeing with Uber and apartment life and so on. So, they're providing them, they're asking for relief not, I mean, they're providing space for them, they're asking for relief not to put them there. That will take them to the zoning hearing board. We can't grant that relief short of going to the zoning hearing board. Due to the known issues with the intersection of Northeast Drive and Park Avenue, a traffic study would be required. And I would be pulling my supervisor apart, as I mentioned in the last case, that when there is a known issue, that traffic study should be required. Stormwater is proposed to be addressed in the existing low area of the lot, although no formal design has been presented at this point. It's anticipated, there's been no formal stormwater design. Related to fee in lieu of park and rec, this project would require that fee, although I'm having preliminary conversations with the developer about extending the bike trail as shown on our official map. And that's the trail that we're hoping to bring through Mansion Road West and eventually get to the outlet. This is a key property to extend that through. I offered some comments in my staff report that I'm not going to go over in any great depth. One of them under the master plan is that provide reasoning why the existing building cannot be preserved. So you'll be seeing something about that in the future. And to provide evidence that the parking spaces can encroach onto the easement areas of the lot. The Planning Commission reviewed this plan at their December 11th meeting, and of course their minutes are attached to the agenda item. The Derry Township Police Department reviewed this plan, as they often do with our plans, and the notes from their email are contained in my agenda item, but basically saying that something needs to be done at Northeast Drive and Park Avenue. Dalton County Planning Commission staff reviewed the plan and noted that they felt that they should show the railroad on the plan, and that would be on the engineering plan. HRG and DTMA also reviewed the sketch plan, and their comments are attached to this agenda item. Because this is a sketch plan, there's no formal action required by the board this evening. The applicants are here. I think they're just looking for some input or comments related to the proposal.
Good evening. Mark Hackenberg, principal with RGS Associates Land Development, Landscape Architect Consultants on the project. With me this evening, Mike Tierney, president of Monarch Development. Brandon Johnson in the back is the director of development for Monarch, and Ben Lesher is the project manager who would be associated with the project. Monarch Development, based in Mechanicsburg, has this property. There has been conversations with the Hershey Trust, but Hershey Trust would continue to own the property. Monarch would reach a long-term agreement to redevelop the parcel with the market rate apartments that were mentioned. Currently, you're not seeing architectural elevations at this point in time. We're still working through some architectural details. As Chuck had mentioned, there are currently 76 units proposed. Dealing with the efficiencies, we're really looking at the details of the architecture itself. We may see numbers slightly higher than that. We recognize we still have we're bound by the net development area requirements of the Hershey mixed use overlay or Hershey mixed use district, I should say. This property is also subject to overlay number eight, which does allow some density provisions for increased density development within existing developed areas as is set forth by the ordinance. So, what you'll ultimately see, and we're certainly going to work within the confines of your ordinance, the one unique thing about this particular property is the grade differential. The drop across the property results in, by definition, by the way the ordinance is written, building heights, when you look at the overall building height, because of the 20-foot grade drop, the building height actually reaches approximately 70 to 73 feet. But if you look at stepping the building down the hillside, we can actually achieve the 50-foot dimensional requirement of your ordinance. So that will be one other issue that we'll have to approach as any hearing board with. It was mentioned circulation is or traffic impact is particularly of concern. We recognize that. I will note that this is a project that does not even approach the notion of a threshold of your ordinance for requiring the traffic study, but the developer has recognized the concern of the municipality. We're going to establish the data. We're going to go ahead and do the traffic data collection and begin to establish a baseline for conversation. The unique element about this project is we believe that the access to Derry Road in the back, providing alternates of choice options for access, will allow residents who might ultimately live here to choose a destination of travel depending on what their destination might be. We're also recognizing that this is a prime employment area with the hotel, Chocolates, and Penn State Health System occupying offices in this region, as well as a strong residential, or I'm sorry, a strong commercial base. The owners, or the applicant, believes there's a strong need for workforce housing, workforce level housing in this region. So that's the reason that he's uniquely interested in this particular property. They have had conversations with the Hershey Historic Society as a neighbor, as a neighboring property owner, and the concern that this was the farmhouse that was associated with the barn that is now the Hershey Society's building. They have been in conversation, or at least begun conversation, around how these historic elements are incorporated into the structure, and historic notions and nods toward the history of this property can be incorporated into both the design of the structure and the elements within the building. Those conversations have been initiated. Nothing has been cast as far as agreements, but we are at the very beginning stages of this master plan process, and I just want to make you aware that as a neighbor, somewhat prompted by Chuck, we've had this conversation around this notion of a trail, providing some connectedness to the new trails that have been installed on the outlet property. This particular property, in collaboration and cooperation with the Historic Society, may afford the opportunity to create a trail connection between the existing residences and the commercial areas adjacent to this property. So we've begun those conversations. We recognize there's still plenty to do relative to the master plan process, but we just started the discussions around things like sanitary sewer utilities across the property, as Chuck mentioned. A fair amount of infrastructure on this property, both of course main and a primary transmission line for sanitary sewer. There's a sinkhole right around that sewer line, so we're looking at all these issues as matters that ultimately need to be dealt with, whether they're by the municipal authority or by a development entity that could potentially participate in solving some of those challenges. It was mentioned the notion of a delay of a portion of the parking lot construction. One of the unique concepts that Monarch is contemplating is the introduction of auto share, a zip car type vehicle share. They believe that there's a market opportunity out there for ride sharing to potentially reduce the number of vehicles. And the reason we're exploring this a little bit further, and we'll ultimately need to take some more information to the Planning Commission, is really the notion of the changes that we're anticipating are going to continue to happen in transportation. So we would monitor this for probably 2 to 3 years. These are the kinds of things that a conditional use approval would ultimately flesh out in that process. But the notion of monitoring the parking capacity on the site, we would design for a full build out. And if it's determined that parking is necessary, we need to build the lot, we're going to build the lot, we secure it for a period of time, financial securities with the township. So this notion of not overbuilding infrastructure, not overbuilding parking when the need may not be there, is really the sort of the concept behind this notion of a rideshare concept. So still some work to do in establishing that rideshare element. And again, as Chuck mentioned, the zoning issue that needs to be dealt with. I'll stop talking. Those are the key issues associated with this project as we continue to move forward with it. But we do want to hear any thoughts or comments you may have at this time as we continue to move through the master plan process. Thank you.
I thank you for working with the Hershey Dairy Township Historical Society. I think they can be an important part of that project if it should move forward. I think anybody who's been back on Northeast Drive can tell you how congested it is already. You have to find alternate ways out, especially during peak shopping times. So trying to make a left coming out as you pass the restaurants can be very, very difficult. So I think all of us would request that you would give that some careful thought so that we don't add to the congestion and look for ways to help alleviate it.
There would be a cross easement? In other words, there would be public access across the parking
lot? No, we're not anticipating it would be public.
Yeah.
Right. Any kind of public access. The access across the property is really more to facilitate the sort of the knowledge base of individuals who live there who have the ability to get back on the Derry Road exit and avoid, avoid the intersection down at Park and
So what you're proposing is market rate apartments?
That's the thought process at this point in time, but one bedroom and two bedroom.
Yeah, okay. Can you talk a little bit more about the pedestrian access? And again, I may have missed this as I was reading, but the we've created the crosswalk by Starbucks, and so but we waived no, we didn't waive it. We got a fee in lieu for the sidewalk around the back of the outlets.
Well, only for the south side.
For the south side.
Only for the south side. We deferred the north side.
Okay. Interesting. So how would that? Would it tie into the historical society? Would there be a sidewalk from the?
Our initial thinking is that we would try to work with the Historic Society to actually use what was the old driveway. At one time there was a driveway between the barn and the farmhouse, and that grade is still there along the basically an extension of where you see the alleyway.
Okay.
There's a grade that basically goes up along the property there. We've only begun these conversations really with Chuck and I have been some previous overtures with the Historic Society, but we really need to bring the parties back together.
Yeah.
Don't want to get too premature and say, hey, we're going to do this until we've got a, commitment to really kind of move the project forward. But
yeah.
The notion is that it would be a walkway that would extend between the two properties up to Northeast Drive.
Got it.
And we have a park and recreation fee requirement, so the notion of being actually able to to install the improvements at private sector cost versus public, public bid projects.
Yeah.
It's cheaper for us to be able to utilize those funds to actually make that install and create a public improvement at the end of the day.
Right.
More cost effectively.
We're always talking about better north-south connections,
mm-hmm.
because of traffic and both pedestrian and driving, and, sort of the crosswalk that we're putting in it. On Chocolate and Pear, it's all sort of this notion of better north-south connections, both pedestrian and vehicular. But how would you limit people from using it as a cross easement?
So I don't think you really can limit it other than posting it as private drive. The one thing I will say, and we've had this conversation with the Planning Commission, it's not readily visible. If you go down on East Derry Road, you don't really see the notion of being able to get up to Northeast Drive unless you know that connection point is there. It's
but
not
we would all know it really fast.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. So if something happens, you're on private property and zero to deal with it. Not
And when you're in Northeast, you can't see down to Derry.
Right.
Yeah. Which is what's on the screen right now.
Right.
And that's that grade drop that I was talking about. There's a good 25 feet of grade drop across the property.
So so you're talking about the historical society, but just to be clear, the whole building, current building, would be raised.
That's the expectation. We looked at a number of sketches, and the position of the building on the property and the integration of infrastructure and HVAC and systems, it really didn't work out well. The property has been vacant for about a decade, if I understand it correctly. There are some challenges and some issues with the structure as it exists right now. We understand the obligation as part of the approval process to evaluate that and share those details with the tenants.
Right. So from from a tax perspective, it's we have this issue in Derry Township where we have a lot of jobs, but a lot of people who don't live here, and so we can dramatically increase our earned income tax if we may have more people that are working in Derry Township, living in Derry Township. So this would certainly be an opportunity for that.
The interesting thing as I look at it from the ordinance's perspective, your ordinance allowed for some of these residential infill opportunities within your mixed use overlay, within your mixed use districts. And to me, this is an opportune site to be able to afford that. Yes, there are some challenges associated with the railroad, but this is an infill parcel. There are infill parcels like that. You're seeing them. There are infill parcels like this all across your township and many others that municipalities, when you develop the tool to be able to deal with them, which I believe the ordinances do, you start to increase your tax benefit rather than burden, because you're not adding streets, you're not adding roadway, you're not adding sewer and water infrastructure to your network, but you're gaining value. So I think, in my opinion, this is a site that's appropriate for this kind of reuse.
76 proposed people, right?
At the moment, that's what we're looking at, 76, plus or minus.
Right.
There's a lot of mature trees there that would potentially be lost, unfortunately.
Yeah, and we're looking at how, and we need detailed survey for us to make specific judgments, and that's our next step in this process. We've heard from the Historic Society the concern for those trees. Some of them sit on the Historic Society side, some of them sit on the markers out there right now. You can get a pretty good feel for what's impacted and what isn't. But yeah, that's the concern of the Historic Societies as well. We're going to do our best to try to respect those and work around them. And where we can't, make sure we're planning for the future and planting some new vegetation that can stand the next several decades.
Right. Are there considerations given to adding more trips to the only upgrade railroad crossing in the township?
Certainly not. I mean, those are the kinds of things that we're going to have to look at as part of this traffic study, and the destinations and the routes and where folks will be going. So we'll definitely have to give that some consideration for sure. We recognize that that's why it's a noisy crossing, because of it is a backgrade crossing. So absolutely. A concern we heard from staff.
I say Justin stole my question, but where exactly would the road come out onto Derry?
So there's an existing alley that Justice took away from me.
I'm getting like a real picture here. Okay?
Yeah, so we would actually be improving that alleyway. We'd be widening that alley to your current alley standards, including the dedication of the right-of-way.
Is that a full alley or just a dead end?
It's about a 15-foot wide alley right now.
Oh, okay, I see it now.
It runs all the way around the back.
Yeah, it goes around the back.
I ride my bike that way. Yeah.
So, and then there's the old road bed is actually that was discussed as well.
Okay.
Used to lead up to the farmhouse. Just that part of the alley, I had checked with Tom. He does maintain it. It appears to be on private property and without easement.
Yep.
So we will be
getting
an easement for that.
Details.
For
this piece of alley that makes the turn and comes out the Derry Road.
Yeah.
Serves some, I guess primarily rentals, but serves these dwelling units. This piece of it, anyway, I believe is on private property.
Is there a possibility of looking a little higher level and seeing a road through your public road through your project? I mean, we always say we're looking for these north-south connections. And
I will say, dimensionally, it wreaks havoc on the use of that property.
Yeah, right. Because right now you're using the access drive and you're parking right off of that.
Right.
And the site's pretty tight.
Is there going to be two-way, I assume? Or is it just going to be like an alley?
There'll be two-way. Two-way circulation consistent with parking, standard parking lot.
Now, when I was talking about the major easements, everything to the right of my cursor is in an easement, so that there are like this whole back piece of the property is also in easements.
It's a combined drainage and utility easement, so we'll have some work to do with the authority and with DPL power companies on defining easement and regrading of the drainage basins will help us define some of those easement areas anyway. So yeah, to recognize Chuck's point, it is an area that's encumbered. Newly revised plans and grading and drainage and reconfiguration are some of the details that we have to work through. Other thoughts, concerns, comments?
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck, again, we don't need to take any action on this one. It's just for information.
That's correct.
Let's move on to item F, that's 10 minutes of 9. We're going to pick up some speed right now. Consideration of second time extension for conditional approval of the preliminary final subdivision plan for 19 East Chocolate Avenue South Lot, plat number 1299. Chuck.
Sorry, I was hoping that Lauren would put the next item. So 19 East Chocolate Avenue, this is the project that that is the south lots that the board saw a few months ago. They're asking for a small time extension to address the final items. We're recommending approval of that with the condition that they, with three conditions, as noted in staff comments, A, B, and C.
Anyone have any questions for Chuck?
No.
Donald makes the motion, or Mark makes the motion, that the conditional approval of the preliminary final subdivision plan for 19 East Chocolate Avenue, South Lot, Plot 1299, is extended until February 28, 2019, subject to compliance with conditions A through C in the Department of Recommendations section of this agenda item. Do I have a second?
Mark made
the motion. Mark made the motion. Mr. Weir seconded it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item G, Chuck gets a break. Adoption of Resolution 1578 authorizing participation in a procurement care program administered by PFM Financial Services LLC for local governments and schools in Pennsylvania. Jill?
Resolution 1578 would provide authorization for the township to enter an agreement with PFM Financial Services that would provide credit cards to employees that the department directors would select to make purchases for their departments. It would be through the Bank of Montreal, and the balance would be paid off monthly through a Pligot account that the township has. We could control the purchases through a web-based management program. We can change the amount, the total, the frequency of the purchases, or you know, we could just stop it if there was a need for it. There's also a web-based program that allows us to reconcile the purchases every month so that we could assign what department accounts it comes from. The nice thing about the program is that it earns you rebates based on your purchases. You would have to spend $50,000 a year. The first category, $50,000 to $99,999, would earn us a 0.30 rebate. Township Manager Chris Men did participate in this program at Palmer Township, and he recommended it to us.
Do you have any questions of either Ms. Henry or Mr. Chrisman?
I don't have any questions, but I have comments. When I worked for the federal government, this was wonderful, the card program. The one issue, I'm going to give you a warning, and I'm going to give you some advice. Mm-hmm. Keep a paper ledger. Don't rely on your computer. May never happen, but if something goes awry, it might be a good way to double check yourself. And
you did have a form that you gave me for us to use for the departments to submit in writing also.
Yeah, that's correct. I always require the employees to provide the paper copy as well, so we maintain a paper ledger in addition to what's online, just for those purposes
right.
and those reasons.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Does this cost us anything?
No. Okay.
This should be easy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think before you make a motion, just to clarify what it is kind of a very good purchasing tool for the township. From time to time, as employees are out, and I use the term widget loosely, you know, if someone in public works needs to be out and purchase a piece of equipment, a rake, a hoe, a shovel, you know, they go down to the local hardware store and they have the use of this card, but it's limited to a specialized amount on their card. So fraudulent purchases are can be tracked very easily. So it does just make getting supplies a lot easier and in a timely way. It's something we would be purchasing anyway. And then we earn a rebate on that purchase, and it's a very successful program.
I'd like to add something to what I said before. Are you going to have specific personnel assigned?
Yes, we will.
To be able to use it, they're going to be trained.
Yes, I mean, in theory, each employee could have a card, and you know, they could be locked down where, you know, there would be, Jill and I would have specific access to give people permission to use their card, you know, so to a certain dollar amount. It could be $5, could be $5,000.
So is everybody going to get a card?
No, it would just be limited to a few departments.
Okay, department heads, I see.
Department heads, yes.
Okay. And you talked about monetary limits. Is there a... I couldn't go to Iron Hill Brewery and use the card.
Yes, you can put limitations on where the card could physically be used.
Right, and I think that would be a good idea.
In addition to that, and I know it's probably not in the package.
Not that I don't trust anybody.
No,
I can talk to you. You know, I've gone through this before. These are some of the issues that I think we need to be cognizant of.
I think the fact that you used this before, Chris, that makes...
Well, no, it's a great idea.
In addition to that, I mean, I know it's not in the packet this evening, there's a complete policy that will go along with that. And each employee that would have a card would be required to review and sign the policy. It would be immediate terminable offense if they go to an establishment that would take a card like that if they're buying alcoholic beverages on duty in those kind of cases, in that context, in the Iron Hill context. That's an immediately terminable offense, and that would be carried out. You know, and that's something that we would be monitoring, and we're notified through the system anyway. And through the reconciliation process, we would also see that and be able to make comment on it as well.
Great.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So this is Resolution 1578 authorizing the participation in a procurement card program administered by CFM Financial Services for local governments and schools in Pennsylvania. Thank you. Next item on the agenda, item H, approval of reimbursement agreement 08A753 with PennDOT for Route 422 streetscape improvements project in consideration of Resolution 1579 authorizing the chairman and manager to execute these documents. Ms. Sumbrin.
Thank you. So in conjunction with our streetscape project on Chocolate Avenue, which is currently underway, we were able to coordinate with PennDOT to essentially incorporate a portion of the paving work that they had already planned for this section into our contract. From a construction sequencing standpoint, it just made sense. In discussing with PennDOT and coordinating with HRG, we were able to do this through the understanding that we would have a reimbursement agreement with them for the paving work that they would otherwise be responsible for. So through this agreement, PennDOT will reimburse the township for up to $1,159,927 for the construction phase of the streetscape project. In order to receive those reimbursements, the board's required to formally act on this agreement. In addition to acting on the agreement, you're also required to pass a resolution authorizing the appropriate signatories. In this case, I am recommending that the board approve the reimbursement agreement contingent upon solicitor and engineer satisfaction. There are still a few cleanup things that we're working through. I'm also recommending that the board approve the resolution authorizing the chairman and township manager to execute the agreement and any other associated documents that may come later with the reimbursement.
Does anyone have any questions for Ms. Sumbrin? If not, I'll make the motion. We'll take this in two parts to approve the reimbursement agreement number 08A753 with the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation for the State Route 422 Streetscape Improvements Project. Do I have a second?
Second
by Mr. Samuda.
Did you want to make that contingent upon solicitor satisfaction as well?
Yes, that's probably a good idea. Let me amend the motion that is approved pending Mr. Yost's review.
Reseconded.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? May that motion carries. And then secondly, I'll make the motion to adopt Resolution 1579 authorizing me and also Chris to execute the agreement on the associated documents. Anyone care to second?
I'll
second that. Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
And both of those motions carry. Thank you. Item I, approval of a recycling development and implementation grant under Section 902 of the Municipal Waste Planning, Recycling, and Waste Reduction Act, Act 101, with Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection for two tow-behind leaf collectors.
Thank you. Through this item, pleased to report that we were successful in receiving grant funding through the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection through their 902 recycling program. Through this program, we're actually able to get 90% in grant funding with only a 10% match, so it's really a good program for us to be hitting. We did receive the full amount requested, which was $114,613. And as was noted, this will go towards purchasing two tow-behind leaf collectors. One will be replacing an inoperable piece. The other will help to increase leaf collection efficiencies. This is a three-year contract with the DEP and looking for a motion to approve the grant contract agreement.
Is there a motion to approve this agreement? Moved by Mr. Moyer. Second by Mr. Engel, and that motion to approve $114,613 recycling development and implementation grant agreement under Section 902 of the Municipal Waste Planning Recycling Waste Reduction Act with the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection for those two tow behind leaf collectors. Moving on. I apologize. I will read the motion again, but would someone like to make that motion?
I'll make the motion. We can.
Thank you very much, Mr. Engel. Would someone like to second that?
I'll
second. Mr. Zimmerman seconds it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Then that motion carries. So either five of us will keep each other straight. All right, item J. Authorization to apply for a redevelopment assistance capital program grant for the Hershey Community Center through the Office of the Budget.
Thank you. As we've been discussing, targeting different funding sources for the community center project, the redevelopment assistance capital program is currently accepting applications through the end of the month. I need to slow down just a little bit. In this case, we'd be requesting funding for improvements related to this project. The first phase of requesting the RACP dollars, once you have a line item, is very straightforward. There's no official resolution or action required. In this case, I'm simply looking for approval to submit the application. It is a 50% matching. We would be looking for approximately $3 million through this request, still working through some final numbers there.
And that deadline's coming up
January 31st.
Mm-hmm. Anyone have any questions for Laura?
And you're just asking for us to permit you to apply for RACP.
Correct.
Would anyone like to make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Made by Mr. Weir. Anyone like to second it?
Sir.
Seconded by Mr. Muda. So Muda has a motion to authorize the submission of the application of the Redevelopment Assistance Capital Program to request $2,277,000 for the Hershey Community Center and acknowledgement and agreement to provide the required matching funds should the grant be awarded.
Madam, if we could actually just increase that to $3 million as we're still tweaking the cost opinion, okay. That would be fantastic.
Then we'll amend that to
up to
$3
That
million.
Would be great.
Thank you. Next on the agenda, we have to vote on it again? We do. Okay, all right. Someone like to make the motion?
I'll make the motion to increase it to $3 million.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second that.
Second. Made by Mr. Samuda, seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Item K. Consideration of releasing the remaining balance of the performance security for the post-construction stormwater management plan for Trogs Brewing Company, file number S-2016-019. Mr.
Emmerich. Thank you. HRG has performed an inspection and has provided a written recommendation that this release is warranted. Maintenance security is not required because none of the improvements are in the public right-of-way. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors authorize the release of the remaining balance of $45,967.63 of the performance security provided for the post-construction stormwater management plan for Trogs Brewing Company.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. Second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Samuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Item L. Consideration of releasing the remaining balance of the performance security for the fourth revised preliminary final land development plan for Deer Run Commons plat number 1245.
I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors authorize the release of the remaining balance, which is $25,815.80 of the performance security for plat 1245 as held by Safeco Insurance Company of America, bond number 660-3339.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Item M, consideration of releasing the remaining balance of the proposed security for the preliminary final subdivision plan for the Trimble property, plat number 1261. Chuck?
The current balance of this bond is $6,394.58. HRG has done their inspection. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors authorize the release of the remaining balance of the performance security is held by First National Bank, and also I'm recommending that maintenance security not be required. The value of the maintenance security would be around $300.
Moved by Mr. Moyer, seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Item N, appointment of one member of the Board of Supervisors of Barry Township Municipal Authority for an unexpired term, the unexpired term of Justin Engel, which was 12/31/19. Ms. Henry.
Supervisor Engel would like to step down from his position on the Derry Township Municipal Authority. His remaining term is through the end of this year, and Supervisor Zamuda would like to take his place.
And I think to explain why, it makes perfect sense, and I applaud you for thinking forward as your term comes to a close.
Yeah, I think it's not
a board that you just jump into.
Right, it's a board that I started on before this board. I've been on there for 9 years, and it's likely that I'll be down at the end of the year. It was time to sort of start another board supervisor, sort of getting oriented with that board. So it's a great organization, and it's great to hear and enjoy it.
Thank you for recognizing that, and thank you for stepping up.
Sure.
I'll make the motion to approve Rick replacing Justin on that board. Do I have a second? Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
And finally, consideration of adoption of decision for conditional use application number 201801 is filed by the Hershey Trust Company, trustee for Milton Hershey School, regarding Hershey West End. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Hershey Trust Company filed an application for a master plan conditional use proposing the development of a new mixed-use community based on traditional neighborhood design principles on approximately 245.79 acres situated primarily within the township's planned campus west zoning district. The application was filed on September 4th, 2018. The public hearing was held November 27th, 2018, and December 4th, 2018. I don't know how much of this agenda item you want me to get into and how familiar the board is, or if what the audience might want to hear. I have a very short synopsis. I'll do that.
Do your short synopsis.
Okay. Within the master plan process, certain requirements of the zoning ordinance and subdivision and land development ordinance are made flexible to enable ingenuity and creativity in design. In addition, the applicant has requested 10 modifications from the requirements of the subdivision and land development ordinance, as is also scripted in the requirements for filing for a master plan. This project included a pattern book which laid out a lot of the design standards for the buildings and landscaping and signage. The applicant has provided an economic impact report that indicated the development will have a positive impact financially on the township and other taxing authorities. The applicant has retained traffic planning and design to do a full traffic study on the project. The traffic study is meant to be revisited around phase two or three. The Derry Township Planning Commission, at their meeting on November 7, 2018, recommended that conditional use approval be granted based on certain items being addressed. I'm recommending that the conditional use agreement be adopted as drafted. In the drafting of the agreement, the first five pages are really finding a fact, talking about some of the things that I just mentioned in my agenda item. The decision also then carries a total of approximately 48 conditions with it that are listed under the decisions itself. And again, I'll say, I don't know if the board wants me to highlight those conditions, has any questions about specific ones.
I'm not sure. Does anybody have any questions either about some of the conditions or?
These are all subject to a public hearing, correct?
They are, and they are in essence. Many of the conditions are related to within the conditional use hearing for a master plan. Uses that are within the master plan that are conditional uses are just all absorbed into that same action. So within the conditions of the decision are many items that would be related to the uses, like the life care facility, that it needs to be provided an automatic fire suppression system. Some of the conditions are related to the traffic study and the supplemental traffic study that's required. Some of them are related to the proposed roundabout and the care for it.
Some of them are related to the future connecting road over to Middletown Road and how that's scripted out. A few of them talk about the right-of-way dedication for Bullfrog Valley Road, Wood Road, Waterville Road, and deferments that are offered along the way there. Just to highlight a few of the, to give you a flavor of what's in the condition.
Yeah. And I did read all of them and enjoyed every moment of it.
I appreciate that. I really do.
What was your favorite of 48?
Well, I've got to tell you. Yeah.
Sure.
So W is of particular interest, and I'm just bringing it up because I think it's worth having on the public record that with regard to what you mentioned with the drop in service at the two intersections, that PennDOT will accept that drop with the township's blessing. But they did recommend some other. Do you want to just speak to that, W? Just put it.
I can go ahead and read verbatim. I hope it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
As two intersections that were included in the traffic study, we'll see a drop in the level of service. And understanding that PennDOT will accept and allow the drop of level of service without mitigation, so long as the township agrees to it. HTC, Hershey Trust Company, with cooperation of the township, has agreed to explore the bypass road identified on the township's official map, item number 24 in the official map, to determine grade alignments and connection to Street G of the Hershey West End development, including possible creation of a second traffic roundabout. So the developer, through the course of the hearing, did agree to work with us to promote that future connection in Middletown.
Right. So just to be clear, because you can actually, if I'm incorrect here, just interrupt me, but because there's going to be drop in service at those two intersections, there is a recommended mitigation from PennDOT. And the township is saying that recommended mitigation is not within sort of our vision for what we want to see out there, so we're going to work with the Hershey Trust in the future to what we believe is our vision, and that's a connector road between Middletown and
And to get even more pointed, one of the recommendations would be to put a signal at the end of Wood Road, and we've worked long and hard to work on a bypass road that does not come out in that particular portion of Middletown Road because of site distance.
Right.
That should be more lined up with Ramsey. So that's the end goal.
Silly.
Not have a traffic light that we're going to tear out in the future.
Yeah.
And to promote the better connection.
Right. So what PennDOT recommended was not consistent with our official map.
That's correct.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Since we're going over the favorite portion of this, item Y, I am concerned about having the site maintain a natural condition, and I feel comfortable that they're going to be planting the trees to enhance that appearance. That's all I have, unless you have something to add to that.
So just to elaborate a little bit for the audience benefit, trees are required along all streets. In this case, they asked for some relief to leave some areas open, but agreed to plant every street tree that would be required at a 75-foot center somewhere on the property. So this is where, for site distance or for the look of a park, believe it or not, so you can see the park from the street, they're proposing on their plan some areas like in this area here that trees not be planted, but you can see that throughout the rest of the site and then scattered throughout. Every tree that would be required had they planted them 75 foot on center will be on property.
And there's 5.3 miles of road.
Of roads. Roads and evidence.
Thank you, Chuck.
Anyone else have anything?
Any other favors?
Thank you, Chuck. Is there a motion to approve the decision for conditional use on application number 201801?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. Seconded.
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And that motion carries. Now it's time for board correspondence. I'll start to my left.
All right.
Okay. Mr. Weir, can I be Just want to mention the Hershey All Things Diversity series continues tomorrow, so we're sold out. But the good news is moving forward, we're going to be live streaming and archiving the sessions when the speaker allows that, so we'll be able to share those messages with even more people in the community. So we're excited about that. And Mr. Gamble answered your question from earlier. We have had meetings to discuss the amusement tax, but they're not public meetings, so no actual meetings to exist. Hopefully in the coming weeks, we'll be able to discuss a little bit more in detail what the meetings are about. So thank you. Ms. Warren?
No, thank you.
Mr. Engel?
Yeah, the only thing I would want to add is that the ICDA did meet. We reorganized, and we are actively pursuing the restructuring of the Giant Center financing. So that's well underway, and we believe that that will happen this year.
Let's move now to the committee reports. Chief, I'll start with you. Anything this evening? Mr. Clark dodged a bullet this weekend. I'm sorry, Mr.
Sassamite.
Skip right over. I didn't see you. Anything from the fire department?
We just manned through the storm for a 24-hour period. Uneventful. That's all I have for this evening.
Great. Mr. Clark?
Nothing to report.
Jeff, anything from the library?
Nothing to report.
Cheryl?
Nothing, thank you.
Matt? Nothing. Mr.
Bonanno? Yeah, quickly, as a follow-up to our discussions with PP&L, we looked at pavement markings proposed for Forest Avenue and Sand Hill Road. So I worked up an exhibit to add a proposed white dotted line, fog line, along Sand Hill Road, and then also 100 foot of a double yellow line along Forest Avenue to help motorists as they approach that intersection of Sand Hill Road sort of realign themselves to feel safer at the intersection. So I have an exhibit, pass that through Tom Clark. No issues, and then Manager Chrisman has that exhibit for your review and approval if you'd like to proceed with those pavement markings.
I actually don't have it in my packet, and I apologize for that.
Is that something we can talk about for next week?
Yeah, we can.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you.
Talk anything?
I do. I'd like to schedule a conditional use hearing for Tuesday, February 26th at 6 p.m. It's a hearing for A to Z Realty for 739 Fishburne Road. There's already two Seedlings Academies there. They bought the next building and they're expanding again, I believe. So that's what the hearing will be related to. February 26th, if nobody has issues with that.
Thank you.
Lauren,
anything this evening?
Nothing this evening. Thank you.
Jill,
nothing. Thank you.
Chris, anything to add?
Just a quick update, just to follow up with Matt's report. PP&L reached out to me between our last board meeting and this one tonight. They did request a quick meeting. Jill and I both attended. It was on January 16th. And basically, they wanted to update us to let us know that they have been having active conversations with Penn State Hershey Medical Center to acquire additional right-of-way on that property. And they are certainly still focused on reevaluating the entire project from start to finish and trying to finalize what that assessment is. And lastly, they did want to note that they're working to coordinate an open house for all concerned residents in this for this particular project. And Jill and I did confirm with them, I think yesterday or today, that's looking to be about February 13th. There'll be more publicity about it once it gets finalized from them. They will be sending out notices, and certainly we'll put that information on the township website so that concerned folks can get out here and get some better information directly from the PP&L. And the one thing that they did do, and I'm sure most of the folks on Forest Avenue already noticed that, is that the foundation structure that was on the corner that Matt mentioned previously, that has been removed. So it is their intent to get rid of that. So at this point, you know, they're actively pursuing reassessing this entire project, and hopefully they'll have another update for us. And as you are aware, a follow-up meeting was previously scheduled for February 7th. That has been rescheduled to January 30th. And a couple of board members, if not all of you, have indicated your interest in attending that meeting. So when we do have that next week, we will follow up with the public at the next public meeting.
Very encouraging that this conversation is continuing, and certainly applaud you and Jill and all the board members, and most importantly the residents of Forest Avenue who've been so diligent in trying to facilitate better communication. So
yeah,
I'll really welcome you to report next time.
Right. And if I, Dave, if I could just follow up on a comment that you made, we are working very hard for residents on a lot of different issues. And some, we do a lot of stuff behind the scenes that you're not aware of, but this one in particular. I think the board has really gone to bat for residents with PPNL, and we're at the table with PPNL, we're doing our best. So it's a developing situation. I don't know if you're following it at all.
Seconded by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
I thought we did a whole meeting without that happening.
The rhythm is getting actually.
I know. It's much more rapid than the conversation. Okay, at 9:25, time for final visitor and public comments. Please.
Can I just make one comment about something, then? Because I have a list from the earlier session. You addressed Mr. Gable, and that is ongoing. Steve Seidel has left, but I did just want to say that we changed the zoning ordinance after 25 years of it not being changed. And you don't get it all right the first time. And the board has talked about this, and I'd like to, maybe even tonight, we sort of direct Chuck to start working on a scope. We've talked about engaging another planning organization to help us sort of take it all the way to the finish line on the downtown area, because we realized we didn't get everything right. I've talked to a couple of different board members. So if we can get a consensus, and assuming the solicitor is okay with this, can we advise Chuck to begin a scope of work so that we can sort of change some ordinances downtown?
I agree. I mean, I think this was always intended to be a living, breathing document, and we don't want to fall into the situation where we were with the last zoning ordinance. So certainly good decisions were made several years ago, but considering how the community has changed just in a few years, what may have been a good idea 3-4 years ago may not be such a great idea now. So I think it's worth doing what you suggested, Justin, and really making a commitment on a regular basis to revisit our zoning and make sure that it always represents the needs and the wants of our community, because we may make a decision thinking, oh, we don't have enough of this, let's change the zoning, and then before we know it, we have too many of a certain thing. So so I think it would be wise to move forward with what you're suggesting.
So, John, are you okay with that?
Just a scope.
Yeah.
Just a little scope. But just a little scope. You're short person right now. So
I do have some initiatives drafted for parking.
Okay.
So, yeah. I think there's things that we need to fix quickly and things that we
can wait.
Very good.
Yeah. Thank you.
We should announce to the public that they should send all their suggestions to Chuck.
Oh, my.
Did you get that back?
We don't want Chuck to put it in.
I really need that.
ChuckHamburg@DairyTownship.org.
Sorry, our final visitor and public comment.
I'm Teresa Peschel. I live at 48 Half Street. And I was thinking about, during the meeting, the traffic study, the lack of the traffic study for the Marriott Town Place Suites, because there's not enough cars. But if you're going to direct all of those vehicles up Hillcrest Road to Arriba, out to Hockersville Road, it isn't just those cars using that access. It includes also the vehicles from the True and the vehicles from the Fairfield Suites. So I think you do have to have a traffic study, because all three of those hotels are dumping a lot of cars as they add up together. They're dumping a lot of cars out onto down Arriba and then at Hockersville Road, so much so that we may need a traffic light and a left turn signal there to get those cars out. So I would like to see the township ask for a traffic study for the larger group of hotels, because there's actually four of them. When you add the Super 8, there's four of them in about 3 acres of land. That's quite a lot. Thank you.
Dave Weaver, 214 Java. Long night. Thanks for listening to me again. And perhaps I was a little disrespectful before. I'm glad to hear that you're in talks with PPNL. And if I can be updated or we can be updated. I would like to push for those to be under, if that, I don't know what the work is there, if it's for PP&L or what, but the engineering and utility work that's going on there. If it's for PP&L, I'd like to push the underground. I mean, those are a lot of historic homes there. There's never going to be any other ones like it, and to deface them with those big poles is not constructive, so thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dave.
Just like to make one comment in regards to the revisiting the planning, and I think it's a great idea. Like I say, there when we started building pharmacies, I have four pharmacies where I could throw stones at hit every one of them. I got right now three hotels I could throw a stone at and hit all three of them. Do we need hotels on top of one another, particularly in that area? And I think it's important that those used to be residential homes. Why not put some townhouses in there, list it as our senior citizens 55 or older, and that's become part of the walking downtown. So you're going to meet two needs instead of just one. Improve the environment, improve the location as far as access for our people, and more housing for residents to live downtown. So I think when you review the plan, keep that in mind, that there should be some distance and not just 200 yards between hotels. Like somebody said earlier, it would be Atlantic City along its Foot Hour Creek. So I don't think we need that. Thank you.
Linda Iyer, 2321 Raleigh Road. I want to thank Chris and Jill for meeting with the Board of Cars last week, and it was very helpful. Got to meet one another, get to understand how things work, and we actually have had our first the sharing of some information back and forth. So I again just want to thank you for the time that you gave to us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your concern. Anyone else? I'm only smiling because I guess this was going to be a 9:30 quick time, and here we are. So, thank you all for your participation this evening and for sticking with us through the end of this meeting. A lot of important things we discussed tonight, and it's nice to know that we have your interest here. I'd like to have a motion to adjourn this meeting. Motion moved by Mr. Moyer, seconded by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Good night.